BBC News at 9 o'clock. The governing body of world football has tried to play down the resignation of a senior official who has been leading efforts to reform the organisation. The head of auditing and compliance at FIFA, Domenico Scala, said the decision to give its ruling council the power to elect or sack members of independent supervisory committees could hinder future investigations into corruption. FIFA said he had misinterpreted the change. The Foreign Secretary Philip Hammond has said he is extremely worried that the ideology of the Islamic State group is spreading into West Africa. Mr. Hammond is attending a security summit in Nigeria focused on tackling Boko Haram, which has strengthened its ties with IS. The Nigerian President, Muhammadu Buhari, said he had fears about the links between the two groups.
We don't have firm intelligence of what ISIS has been able to send to Boko Haram in terms of weapons or even money. But the fact that they say they are loyal to them, it's safer for us to assume ISIS could send them some support in military hardware and maybe some money.
A Catholic priest accused of historical sex offences has been arrested in Kosovo after a five-year hunt by police. Father Lawrence Soper is wanted over allegations of child abuse when he taught at a private independent Catholic school, which is part of Ealing Abbey in West London. The Countryside Alliance has welcomed an announcement by the new chief executive of the RSPCA, Jeremy Cooper, that the charity is very unlikely to bring further private prosecutions for fox hunting. Mr. Cooper said the RSPCA would become less political and now focus on animal welfare. In rugby union, Saracens have won the European Champions Cup. They beat the French side Racing 92 by 21 points to 9 in Lyon. Arsenal beat Chelsea 1-0 to win the Women's FA Cup final at Wembley. They picked up the trophy for the 14th time in front of a record crowd of nearly 33,000. BBC News.
Now on Radio 4, the first episode of our two-part adaptation of Lewis Grassic Gibbon's Cloud Howe. Set in Aberdeenshire in the 1920s, it's an atmospheric drama about his best love character, Chris. Now married to Robert, a young and idealistic minister, Chris and her family move from their crofting life in Kinraddy to a mill town in Aberdeenshire, where they'll find themselves embroiled in the community's class struggle.
Cloud Howe by Lewis Grassic Gibbon, dramatised by Donna Frances Child.
Careful with that, Ewan.
I can manage.
That box has got china in it. Take the bed in there.
I'm not a bear. I'm 9 years old.
Aye, old enough to break the china.
Do as your mother says and take the bed in. All right. Looks like this must be the welcoming committee.
Hello. You'll be the minister.
I am. Robert Coon.
DL of the Meikle box.
And this is my wife, Christine.
We didn't expect you till later, Reverend.
Oh, I think the lorry driver was in a wee bit hurry.
But where's the lorry?
In Stonehive, by now, I'd think. He put our things out and then drove off in that direction.
He didn't help you bring them in?
As I said, I think he was in a hurry.
Oh, that's fair unchristian.
No, Mother said he was a fair good Christian.
Ewan.
Because every time we hit a bump in the road, he prayed to Jesus.
Ewan, take the bedding in, as your mother asked. Then up to your room, start unpacking.
It's terrible the way of the world these days. Leaving you a minister of the kirk with your furniture in the road. When I was a lad up in Gavrick, that driver would have earned himself a clout in the ear.
This is Leslie Sim.
Reverend Cahoon. Mrs. Cahoon.
This is Alec Hogg, the provost's son. Went to university in Edinburgh.
Very pleased to meet you.
And this is Miss McCaskill, chairwoman of the Seggett Women's Rural Institute.
We do a lot of charity work for the unfortunates of the village, and we have a rota to make sure you'll never be without fresh flowers in the kirk of a Sunday.
And this strapping young lad is a spinner.
Eke Ogilvie.
He's here to help with the heavy lifting.
It's a sore job flitting. We thought we'd come and lend a hand.
And do a wee bit cleaning. The old minister was none too tidy.
None too sober either.
Well, that's fair kind of you. Thank you.
Oh, you'll find nothing but good people in Seggett, Minister.
No, would you like me to take non-kitchen things into the kitchen, ma'am?
I think that would be the best place for them.
Aye, ma'am.
And please call me Mrs. Cahoon, not ma'am.
Aye, ma'am.
Oh, here, let me help you with that. Looks heavy.
Oh, I've carried heavier than this, sir.
Well, let's be getting on with it then. You can start with the muckle trunks, eh?
Please, aye. Just tell us what you want where, Reverend, and we'll be about it.
You'll like it in Sagitt, Reverend. I'll take you over to the kirk tomorrow once you've settled in.
Thank you.
Have a kick at that. There's cobwebs in the ceiling.
We'll soon see to that. Let me get my cobweb brush.
Where do you want this, ma'am?
That goes in the dining room.
It's a brawny place, Sagitt. You'll like it. We've got the Sagitt show coming up in September. Folk come from miles around to go to that. Races, hammer throwing, livestock competitions.
Perhaps Mrs. Cahoon would like to enter the baking competition.
And we have a service every Armistice Day. Oh, it's not just Sagitt folk who come either. We're well kent for having the best war memorial in Aberdeenshire.
Some villages just have an obelisk, but we have an angel. 10 feet high it is.
A fitting tribute to those that made the ultimate sacrifice.
You were in the war, were you not, Reverend?
Oh, I wanted to go. I begged them to let me go. They said I was too old. Well, they never minded when they were too young. There was a lad in the village, 15 years of age. Told them he was 16 and off he went. His name's in the war memorial.
It must have been terrible, Reverend.
The Women's Rural Institute knitted a scarf for every second lad in the trenches.
We read in the papers about the poison gas, and they were you gassed, Reverend.
It's so stuffy in here, let me open a window.
Why wouldn't I open that, you Mrs. Cahoon?
Why ever not?
Because it's downwind.
Downwind of what?
Of the old tomb, the west wind.
Are those piggeries on that hill?
No, but it's pigs that live in them.
Two-legged pigs.
People live there.
They're the spinners' houses. If you gave good houses to rubbish like them, they'd have them piggeries in a damn short while anyway.
Oh, they're not Sagitt folk, the spinners. Not Sagitt folk at all.
Ah, that's your bed in. There's just the wardrobe to come.
Elsa, can you take that upstairs to her bedroom and set it up? Bate can help you.
Oh, no need. I'll help the wee bit maidy with the bed.
Wee bit maidy? There's damn the maidy but me. Get mind the door frame.
Right, just
So he's sniffing round Elsa now. Another lassie to add to his collection.
A man that can't keep his hands off the women by the time he's 60 should be libbed and tethered in a cattle court.
So to shoot. Let's have a kick at the kitchen. Lord knows what kind of state the old drunk left it.
Dear.
You'd best close that window. Look at the sky.
Give me those clouds, just summer rain.
What are you thinking?
People live in those houses, Christy. How can it be right that people live in houses like that?
But I'm not sleepy.
It's time for bed, Ewan. Come on.
Why do the stairs here wind? Why are they straight?
Not all stairs are straight.
That was an owl. Why do owls fly in the day?
Because they sleep in the day.
Why is Miss McCaskill so fat? Huh? Is she going to have a calf?
You win.
But Mother, why?
No more whys.
Why do we have to live here?
Because Robert is Sagitt's new minister.
Why does he have to be a minister?
Because he's dedicated his life to Christ.
Where is Christ? Has Robert met him?
I dinna ken. You'll have to ask him.
I don't want to live here, Mother. I want to go back to Kinraddy. I could go exploring there.
You can go exploring here.
There are too many shops and houses.
Oh, there are hills and fields beyond. Who knows what you'll find there?
Will things be different here?
Different than what?
Will Robert go quiet sometimes and stop speaking to us and have bad dreams?
I don't know. Now, good night. Mwah!
Will you be needing anything more tonight, Mem?
I told you, Elsa. It's not Mem, it's Mrs. Cahoon. What do you normally make for breakfast in the morning?
Reverend Nichols never ate breakfast.
He drank it, aye? Well, can you make porridge?
I was never asked to, Mem.
Then I'll have to teach you. I'll see you in the kitchen at 7.
Yes, Mem.
Mrs. Cahoon, do you know where my husband is?
In his study, Mrs. Cahoon.
Thank you. Good night, Elsa.
Good night, Mrs. Cahoon.
You haven't been working on your sermon all this time.
Well, it's my first one. They'll be expecting something inspiring. I can't think of a theme.
You've got got 6 days. Why don't you leave it for tonight? Hmm?
Perhaps I will. Let's go for a walk instead.
A walk? It's pretty dark out.
We can see Seget by night.
I've got darning to do, Robert.
What? Waste your life when you'll soon be dead. You're not going to slave for me, my girl.
Well, you won't like holes in your socks.
When they're holed, we'll buy a new pair. Come out for a tramp. The rain's gone off.
All right.
And then to bed. But I don't think to sleep.
God, that's an awful speak, Robert. For Seget's new minister.
Don't ministers in Seget do things like that?
A ministers in Seget most certainly do not.
We'll see about that. Get your coat.
It's very quiet here.
Like walking in a town of the dead.
Well, thank God the clouds have cleared and there'll be no moon to see by.
Do you think that's the same moon? The same light as in ancient times? Long before Christ walked on the earth, folk walked here. Right here, where we're walking now.
I suppose they must have.
Do you think in times to be, folk will do that?
Like do what? Walk?
No. I mean, in times to be, maybe a lad and a lass will walk where we're walking now. You think they'll wonder about us? About Seget folk? But the things we did and said and believed in these little houses. And the moon and the hills will still be the same then as now.
I think it more likely that lad and lass would find the hills and the moon enough and not bother about the rest.
Who are you and what's your business here?
Mr. Sim. It's Robert Cahoon.
Oh, minister. Oh, I didn't recognise you there. And what are you doing wandering about the square at this time of night?
My wife and I thought it might be nice to have a walk.
Oh, you do not want to be doing that. Nobody but spinners stick to the streets at this time of night. And the things they get up to, well, I won't talk about in front of Mrs. Cahoon.
Then why are you out?
Well, somebody's got to keep an eye on them. No, I suggest you go home to your bed.
Thank you, Leslie, we will.
Chris, look at this.
What is it?
My God, what a slummock.
What, a statue of a lass?
Of an angel. 10 foot high. May God forgive him this horror. Look at the star on its wee pantomime wand. We will remember. Folk will think it a joke in times to come, this angel. This quine like a constipated calf.
Or else there'll simply be more angels and more squares. With more names of young laddies written beneath them.
No, no, things will change. They must change.
To what? Things go on the same as they ever were. Folk are neither better nor worse for the war. They gossip and clake and are good and bad. Nothing will change.
Chris, if we have ever a child, you and I, if he grows up and finds that's true, I hope he'll come here with you and his whole generation and smash this hideous angel to smithereens for the way we failed them. And failed God.
Is that to be the theme of your sermon?
Perhaps not the first sermon.
They may take offence if you call their angel hideous.
They may. You're shivering. You're cold?
No. But let's go back. Come to bed with me, Robert.
Do you think we will?
What?
Have a child.
Yes, but not now.
When?
I don't know.
I mustn't. No.
Robert.
Don't.
Robert, wake up.
No. Oh, Lord. My protector, help me.
Robert.
Help me.
Robert.
I saw them with my own eyes, Miss McCaskill. The minister and his wife walking in the square at night like it was a sunny spring day.
Like they were common spinners.
Well, I put them right, of course. Sent them home.
And what could they have been doing out so late?
Well, they said they were going for a walk. When I was a lad up in Gavrick, there was a minister went out in the streets at night. He used to say he was tending to the sick. Only nobody knew anybody that was sick in that part of Gavrick.
It'll be that, Mrs. Cahoon. You can tell by looking at that coin she doesn't care what anyone thinks of her. I was talking to Elsa this morning. She's been working the poor girl every hour of the day, having to say ma'am this and ma'am that, even just meeting her on the stairs.
I'm not a laddie of hers. The minister's not the father, you know.
She was married to the father. Oh. Right enough. She's a widow. That's what I heard.
Well, how exactly did she become a widow?
I can tell you that if you like.
Oh, Mrs. Cahoon, it's a fine day. Good to see the rain away.
My husband was shot to pieces in France, Mr. Sim.
Oh, so sorry to hear that, Mrs. Cahoon. Such a terrible war. And those poor amputees. The Women's Rural Institute does a lot for them. Perhaps you'd like to join us in our charity work?
I am fair busy with the manse, Miss McCaskill, but I'll certainly think about it. Have you any other questions about my private life? Because I'm going for a walk in the hills now and I might not be back for hours.
Oh, no. We didn't like to pry.
All right, then. Good day.
She's a nasty piece of work. Mm. Putting on ears like that. And her just a crofter's wifey from Kinraddy.
I wee bit housey too in ruin. It's silly was, the winds are strewing. And nahin new to big and ewin. All foggage green. And bleak December's winds... Hello. Oh, aye, you're the new minister's lad.
Ewan, we met you when you were helping us flit. What's that you're reading out?
Poetry, Ewan. Great poetry.
What's it about?
A mouse. It's about a cooter who turns up a nest with his plough. The mouse has spent all summer building the nest, and now he's left with nothing and winter's coming.
Why would anyone want to write about that?
It's a reflection on the futility of planning for the future. By Robert Burns, he's my inspiration. I'm a poet too.
I thought you were a spinner.
Only when I'm not writing poems. I'm working on one at the moment.
What's that about? A rabbit?
I'll recite it for you when I've finished. What's that you've got there?
A stone. A flint, I think. Looks like someone's carved it. I found it near the old castle. Do you know what it is?
I've seen dozens like that up there. I've never thought about what they are.
I'll ask Robert. He knows a lot about things.
What's it like living with a minister?
It's boring a lot of the time. Sometimes, it's as if everything he says is a sermon. He can put people off.
He's bound to do better than our last minister.
He's a drunkard.
That wasn't the half of it. Folk were up in arms because he didn't like the Prince of Wales, and him an Englishman as well.
Why didn't he like the Prince of Wales?
Well, at the end of every service he would do a lot of blessing. He'd bless the elders of the kirk, the Prime Minister, the King, the Lord Provost of Edinburgh, the Mayor of London, every member of the House of Lords, and then at the very end he would say, and all but the Prince of Wales.
You still haven't told me why he didn't like him.
He did. It was his English accent. He was saying, Albert, the Prince of Wales.
Did folk never realise?
Probably, but why waste a good bit of gossip?
I should get home for my tea. See you at the kirk tomorrow.
Oh, the spinners really go to the kirk.
Why not?
Stay in Sagitt long enough. You'll find out.
Hello. Wow.
You were gone a long time.
Oh, I went to the top of the Kames. It's beautiful up there. You can see right down the How.
I hear you managed to upset Leslie Sim and Miss McCaskill today. Both at the same time.
How'd you ken that?
Oh, I heard Elsa telling the woman who delivers the eggs.
What, if gossip were pennies, I'd be rich.
You're a minister's wife, Christine. Rise above it.
Are you still working on the sermon?
I'm still pretending to be working on it. It's the first one in Sagitt. I need to find someone to inspire them. To make them think about the inhumanity in the world. To help them learn to love their neighbour as themselves.
Well, as long as their neighbour isn't from the old tomb.
They still don't even have a theme.
You'll find one, you always do.
Doesn't mean I always will.
If I see you reading out the shipping forecast from the pulpit tomorrow, okay, and that time has come, I'll answer it. Mr. Meeklebogs.
Oh, good evening, Mrs. Cahoon. Reverend, I hope I'm not interrupting, but I thought I might bring you a box of my first earlies. The best potatoes to be had anywhere in Aberdeenshire.
That's fair kind of you. Elsa?
Oh, and it's not just my potatoes. My cattle produce the best meat anywhere.
Yes, Mrs. Cahoon.
Can you take these into the kitchen, please, Elsa?
Oh, I'll carry it for you. Those potatoes are just out the ground. You didn't want to get your apron dirty.
I've handled potatoes before, sir.
I'll bring some meat next time, Reverend. And you see if it's not as good as I say. At the Seggett show last year, it was my muckle cow that took first prize. And I've got one I think will be taking the prize this year, too.
If I didn't know you as a man of honour, Mr. Meeklebogs, I'd suspect you of trying to bribe a judge.
Bribe? Oh, why? Aye, of course you're going to be judging the livestock. Oh, you'll see for yourself then.
My wife and I are much looking forward to it.
Well, I ought to be going home then. The maid will have my dinner ready by now. Old and ugly as sin she is. Not like yours, Mrs. Cahoon.
Goodbye, and thank you again.
Now there's a man after a prize.
Aye, and the one he wants most is working in the kitchen. It's time we started dinner, Elsa. Leave some of those potatoes out and put the rest in the larder. I'll get the range going.
That's been done, Mrs. Cahoon.
Good. We can boil the water then.
I am capable of boiling water, ma'am.
Mrs. Cahoon.
If I may say so, Mrs. Cahoon, I'm not used to calling the lady of the house anything but ma'am, and I'm not used to the lady of the house working in the kitchen.
I'm a crofter's wife and a crofter's daughter, Elsa. I have run a house, ploughed fields, drilled, planted and pulled potatoes from the earth with hands as rough as gorse. I am not ma'am and I am not a lady.
Yes, Mrs. Cahoon.
I'll scrub the potatoes.
I'm not late for dinner, am I?
No. Elsa and your mother are still in the kitchen. Find anything interesting while you were out exploring?
Aye. I found this up near the standing stones. Do you know what it is?
I do. The people who made this lived thousands of years ago, you.
It's awful sharp. Did they use it for ploughing?
They used it for killing. It's a spearhead. Blood once ran on this blade.
What for?
For things men of that time believed would last forever. And now those men are gone. Remembered as apes whose lives and deaths were foolish. And the things they fought over, foolish.
This all happened in Seggett. In the olden times.
As it has in recent times. People in the future might look back one day and see the hatred here and fear. The poor schools and worse houses. And they'll wonder how we could have been so foolish.
Dinner's on the table. You need to wash your hands, Ewan. Robert? You coming through?
No, I have to write my sermon.
Sermon was that, I want to know.
Well, if he was the drunk, then I'm feel. With his spears and his stars and his apes and his stite.
And his wee bit wife sitting at the front as if she was the Queen of Sheba.
Now, when I was a lad up in Gavrick, you got a sermon with some body in it. With a fire that awaited folk that were sinners and lay with their unwed quines and were slow in paying their bills.
Lecturing it is like that. Reform this, reform that. Folk want no changes here.
Well, what do you expect? He's gentry, with his flat-potted hair, speaking to God as if he was the man next door.
And a poor manny at that. Did you see Jock Cronin come in?
Standing at the back, he was, smirk on his face, a filthy beast, left just after the sermon.
Yeah, the only sensible thing he's ever done.
Well, I dunno know about you, Leslie, but I dunno come to the church to be insulted.
Talking about needing to be compassionate.
As if we weren't compassionate already.
Shh.
Good morning, Reverend.
Good morning.
I wonder what they were talking about.
Oh, the usual things, the weather.
The price of flour.
The minister.
The minister's wife.
If Jesus Christ himself were to come back, they'd gossip about him.
Should we go for a walk? It'll be hours till the rain comes on. Look at the clouds.
I'm feeling a bit tired. You go on.
All right. Well, don't stay here in the square, though.
But there's an angel here to protect me. 10 feet high.
Promise me you'll go home.
I will. I will.
Reverend Cahoon, I listened to your sermon today.
I saw you at the back. You're a spinner?
What makes you think that? My clothes. Maybe I just forgot to put on my Sunday best this morning.
What's your name?
Jock Cronin. I lead the Spinners Union. Your sermon didn't go down that well with the genteel folk of your parish. They're going to crucify you, you know.
I'll be in good company.
What do you think of our war memorial? We will remember. I think that's funny. When all we want to do is forget. I ken that cough. You were gassed, weren't you?
Yes. And took shrapnel in my shoulder.
I escaped without a scratch. Everywhere around me was like a butcher's shop, but here I was. In the middle of it, like the bullets were bouncing off me. I suppose it must be true that only the good die young.
Maybe God was sparing you to do good work in the world after the war.
Aye. Maybe that was it.
I was told the spinners rarely go to services at the kirk.
Aye, but I wanted to see what you had to say. The lads and I went to McDougall's church last week. He served in the army too, the Salvation Army. He was preaching about stealing, quoting something from Leviticus, I think. They have some braw hymns at his church. Maybe you should borrow some of them. There's one bit of hymn all about being washed in the blood of the Lamb. McDougall's awfu' fond of hymns full of blood. We didn't ken the words, though, so we had to make up our own. Whiter than the whitewash on the wall. Oh, wash me in the water where you wash your dirty daughter, and I shall be whiter than the whitewash on the wall. It went down about as well as your sermon today.
I hope I had more to say than McDougall did.
About changing the world, starting with Seggett, putting in street lamps and the old tune for the spinners, fixing up their schools, inspections of the mill. You must have a lot of faith in God if you believe that's going to happen.
I do have faith.
Really?
Of course.
It says in the Bible, if you have faith, you can move mountains.
It does.
So, will you do that for me, so I can have faith too?
It's metaphorical.
It's the Bible. I ken because it was beat into my head at school. Go on. Move a mountain. Move back the mound there in front of my eyes. That'll be proof.
You don't need proof if you have faith.
It's not even a mountain. It's more of a hill.
Faith can move hearts.
You have more chance of moving the mound than you do of moving the hearts of the folk who come to the kirk. There's two sides in Seggett. Old tune, new tune. Spinners, decent folk. Whose side are you on, Mr. Cahoon?
Robert! Robert!
Mrs. Cahoon.
Elsa, where's Robert?
He's in his study. He was fair strange when he came in, ma'am. He never spoke. I asked him if he wanted a cup of tea. He said nothing. Nothing at all. It was as if I wasn't there. He's been in there for hours now. Is he all right?
Thank you, Elsa. Robert. Robert.
What's the use, Chris? What's the use?
It was a good sermon.
They weren't listening. Half of them were asleep. The other half...
You just need to have faith.
Faith?
Robert, look what I found.
No, wait, don't...
I found three more. These two are spearheads. I think this wee one might be an arrowhead. Do you think...
Get those foul things away from me. They've killed folk. Men, women, children, can't you see that?
Just leave, Robert.
Get them away from me.
Ewan, I've told you. There are times when you just have to leave him. In a few days, he'll come down the stairs and he'll ask you to show him those spearheads.
But why is he like that? Why did he stop talking to us? Did the war make him like that?
Aye, it did.
What do you suppose he's dreaming when he wakes up fear-ed in the middle of the night? Must be something fair frightening.
I think it is.
Reverend, is this muckle cow now the most beautiful you've ever seen? Not just at the Sagitt Show, but in the whole of Scotland.
It's hard to judge. I've not been to the whole of Scotland.
Oh, hello, Ake.
Ewan, sit yourself down. Can try my poem on you.
Is it about a rabbit?
No, I worked on it all night to be ready for the Sagitt Show today.
You're not planning on reading it out to everyone, are you?
Oh, no, just to Caitlin Brennan after the Ceilidh tonight.
Who's Caitlin Brennan?
A new weaver at the mill. Just arrived from Ireland. The bonniest lassie I've ever laid eyes on. So I wrote this poem for her. It's called To a Sheep.
Good Lord.
Upon the hills above the glen, the sheep do lie and graze. And if I would be a sheep, my lass, it's there I'd spend my days. To keep you warm, I'd give you wool to weave into a shawl. My arms around your shoulders as you stand so fair and tall. For you would hold me close to you and clutch me to your breast. Come, lie with me upon the grass and be my shepherdess.
I'm not a lass, but that sounds like stout to me.
You need to learn to appreciate poetry, Ewan. Oh dear, Meikle Boggs looks a bit cross. Someone else must have got first prize.
Well, with the greatest respect, Reverend, you obviously care nothing about cattle.
The provost cow looked better to me. A long body and well-muscled.
And you, Mrs. Cahoon, ken even less.
With the greatest respect, Mr. Meikle Boggs, my wife farmed cattle all her life, before she had the misfortune to marry me.
Careful with my meringues, Elsa. They're ever delicate.
Yes, Miss McCaskill.
And there's scones in that. Hold it flat or they'll be crushed. The judging is just before the hammer throwing, so make sure it's all laid out in time.
Yes, Miss McCaskill.
Here, Elsa. Let me help you with that.
Alec, I think if I can bring a bed upstairs, I can manage taking a box of scones to a table.
Not if you hold it like that. You need to treat them with a lot of care. They're the winning entry.
If it makes you say that.
Miss McCaskill is one of the judges. The other two are her cousin and her niece.
I heard you joined the fascists while you were in Edinburgh.
I did, aye. The country's in a terrible state. We need to get Scotland working again.
And how is your fascist party going to do that?
Lowering income tax for a start. It would reduce unemployment within months. You see, if the well-off had more money in their pockets, they could hire more...
Servants.
Nothing wrong with that, is there? I'm sure most people would rather be in work than out. And if not, maybe they deserve what they get. There needs to be a bit more discipline and a bit less immorality. Don't you think?
Elsa? They're short-handed in the tea tent. They need you to go out there right away.
All right. I suppose I'm nearly finished here.
Broad-looking lassie, isn't she?
She is, aye. Lips like strawberries in summer.
Look at that corrig. I've never seen a cor so braw.
Now, if it isn't Stephen Mowat. I didn't think he'd ever come back here.
Who's he?
The man who owns the mill.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lads and lassies, the hammer-throwing event is about to begin on the near field. Will all the competitors in the hammer-throwing event please come forward?
This is a wonderful surprise, Mr. Mowat.
I'm just jolly glad I made it in time for the second show. Motored up all the way from London, you know. Dreadful journey.
Oh, if we'd think you were coming, Mr. Mowat, we would have put up a dais for you to make a speech.
Jolly nice of you, Leslie, but I'm delighted to simply spend some time with the people of Sagatt.
How long will you be staying, Mr. Mowat?
Permanently, I hope. I've decided to take on the day-to-day running of the mill.
Oh, that's braw news, Mr. Mowat. We've missed you so
all
much.
All competitors to the near field for the hammer-throwing event.
I think I might have a go at that. I was jolly good at it at school.
Have a kick at that, Leslie. Jock Cronin's entered the competition, filthy beast it is.
Any more competitors?
Reverend Cahoon, you're having a go then.
I am.
It'll be awfully hard to beat Jock Cronin.
Oh, his wife threw hammers all her life before she had the misfortune to marry him.
Elsa, over here.
Alec, the baking competition took ages.
And who won?
Miss McCaskill and her scones.
Come over here to see the lads swinging their hammers, eh?
That's my favourite event.
Oh, you're looking bonny, lass. Do you not think she looks bonny, Alec?
Aye, she does.
Lips like strawberries in summer, wouldn't you say, Alec?
Last call for competitors. Last call for competitors.
Perhaps I'll have a throw.
You? You'd hurt yourself picking up the hammer, never mind throwing it.
Well, we'll get started then. Our first contestant taking up the hammer is Mr. Stephen Mowat.
Look at that!
Oh, that it'll be hard to beat right enough, eh?
The next contestant is Alec Hogg. Bad luck, Alec. Stephen Mowat is still the man to beat. Now let's see what our next contestant can do. Jock Cronin.
Yeah. You showed up, Jock!
Just listen to them.
Jock Cronin beats Stephen Mowat and Alec Hogg.
Terrible form trying to humiliate Mr. Mowat like that.
I wouldn't be surprised if he cheated. He's probably used a lighter hammer without anybody knowing.
And our last contestant is the Reverend Cahoon.
Faith can't move mountains, Mr. Cahoon, but I wonder how far it can throw a hammer.
Oh, Lord, give me the strength to do your will.
Come on, God's not going to throw the hammer for you.
And if it be your will, bless me with the power you gave to Samson to destroy the pagan temple.
A full 3 feet in front of Jock Cronin's hammer. I declare the Reverend Cahoon the winner.
Perhaps I need to go to the Kirk more often, Mr. Cahoon.
Chris, give me your handkerchief.
Here, what's wrong?
We need to go home.
But why? Robert. Blood.
Another dram then, Elsa.
Oh, I should really be going home now.
Oh, it's so early. The second show comes but once a year.
Thank you. Now I've been to the places for the dashing white sand.
May I have this dance, Elsa?
I'm afraid she's going home now.
Sorry, Alec. I don't think my feet are up to it. Another time.
I'll walk you home. Let me get your coat.
Old Hairy Hog's cow didn't deserve any prize at all. Never mind first place. Carriage of the head was completely wrong. That minister cares nothing about livestock. I wouldn't be surprised if old Hog slipped a few extra shillings in the collection plate on Sunday, you can.
This isn't the way I usually walk home.
I thought you might like to come to my house for a cup of tea.
Thank you, but I don't think...
It'll warm you up. We'll have a wee cup of tea and then I'll walk you the rest of the way.
I do need to get home.
Well, you didn't want to be walking that street on your own now. It's the Sagatt show. There'll be drunken spinners about the place. And they see a pretty lass like you. Who knows what they might do?
Well, aye. All right.
You're awake?
Aye.
I'm glad you had a wee sleep.
I'm all right now. God gave my arms the strength to beat Jock Cronin, but forgot to do the same for my lungs. I think that may be the last hammer I ever throw.
I hope so.
Has Elsa gone to bed?
Oh, she's still at the Cayley. Suppose she decided to stay till the bitter end.
Then we have the house all to ourselves.
I should make you some supper.
No, no. Come lie with me, Chris.
Robert! Thinking about a thing like that from your sick bed.
What, and you're not thinking the same?
What about your lungs?
I'll try not to breathe too hard.
No, we'll just need
to... No. We don't need to...
Robert!
That's time. Hmm? Don't you want my child? Don't you?
I used to long for your child, Robert. I used to think about what it would look like. Brown hair or blonde? Blue eyes or green? Whether it would have your smile? But Robert, every time I feel that scar on your back when we lie together, every time I hear your cough, every time you wake up screaming, I feel nothing but that I will not bring a bairn into this world to be blown to shreds in the next war.
Then we'll make sure that there isn't a next one. We'll make sure our child will grow up in a better world.
How?
I don't know yet, but I know it can be done.
I can't, Robert. I will not bring another child into this world. Not even yours. Elsa, it's nearly first light. Where have you been?
I didn't see that's any of your business, Mrs. Cahoon.
It's my business if you bring any shame on this house.
I was at the Seggett Show, Cayley.
That finished hours ago. Where have you been?
You'd love an excuse to dismiss me, wouldn't you?
I don't need an excuse to protect my husband.
You've never liked me.
If there is a breath of scandal, Elsa, a breath.
I was lying with D.L. of the Meikle Bogs.
Elsa.
So it's true.
I saw her with my own eyes, leaving the manse with her wee bit bag packed.
She left without giving notice? Where will she go?
Ardmultry says she's found another position.
Where?
At the Meikle Bogs.
Another notch on the bedpost of the old lecher.
And him more than twice her age. Oh,
an elder of the kirk, no less.
Oh. What made the minister dismiss her? She's aye been a good lass, hard working.
And bonny. Plain as day. The minister was jealous. He was pining over her from the beginning. You could see it in his eyes. And when he found out about her and D.L.
That would explain why his wife still has a bairn.
He wouldn't lie with her. He wanted Elsa Queen in his bed.
Oh, when I was a lad up in Gavrick, you'd never see goings on like this. Oh, I did not count what the world is coming to.
None of us do. I hear Alec Hogg's joined the fascists. He says they're going to bring back order and morality.
Well, it seems damned sensible to me.
My bonny lass, so deep in love am I, and I will love thee still, my dear, till all the seas gang dry.
Not another poem.
Ewan, aye, I'm going to recite it to Caitlin Brennan tonight. Here, sit yourself down. Found any spearheads today?
No, maybe I found all that's there.
You should try further up the glen, past the cairn. I've seen some there, I think. Would you like to hear the rest of the poem?
Nope.
Till all the seas gang dry, my dear, and the rocks melt with the sun, I will love thee still, my dear, while the sands o' life shall run. What do you think?
You know I think.
That poem is a work of genius.
So you're a genius, aye?
As it happens, I didn't write it. The great Robert Burns did.
It's still a load of rot. When a man goes to war or kisses a woman, or a woman has a baby, why not say it plain? Why do you need all that slop?
The lassies love it. Burns was fair up to his eye sockets and lassies in his time. I'll tell you a story. When Burns died and went to heaven, he knocked like hell on the pearly gate. St. Peter poked his head from a wicket and asked, "Who are you that's making a din?" And he answered, "I am Robert Burns, my man, National Poet of Scotland, that's who." St. Peter took a look at the orders pinned to the guardroom wall for the day and he said, "I've got a note about you. You just wait out by for a minute or so." So Robbie waited and waited at the gate, signed the gate, finally opened, and he was let in. Burns was fair in a rage by then, and he said, "Do you always treat your distinguished arrivals like this?" And St. Peter said, "No, but I've had special orders about you. I've had to hide the Virgin Mary away."
How do you know all that if Burns was dead at the time?
It's a story.
Ugh, I don't believe in heaven or God. It's all a load of rot.
And you, a minister's laddie.
Robert's been driving us mad for weeks. He's been writing a sermon for the Armistice Day service.
Oh, aye. When all those upstanding Christian folk gather at the war memorial to make speeches and give thanks for not having been anywhere near France during the war.
You won't be at the service then?
No, listening to Mr. Jolly make a speech? No.
Who's Mr. Jolly?
Mr. Mowat, the mill owner. But haven't you noticed that he's aye saying jolly good and jolly nice and jolly glad? As soon as he took over the mill, he started sacking folk. The spinners are jolly angry, I can tell you.
And that's why you're not coming?
Oh, I didn't say we're not coming.
You better go and get my tea. Let me know what Caitlin Brennan thinks when you read her your poem.
I read her a cracker yesterday.
Did you? What did she say?
She said she'd marry me.
She must be fair daft then.
My good fortune that she is. I told you, Ewan, the lassies love a poet.
God, Alec, even here, another bitch in a flannel shift.
Pardon, Mr. Mowat?
That statue, it's grotesque.
That's a war memorial.
I saw dozens of them when I was motoring up from England. Lasses in bronze and marble and granite, dancing about on pedestal tops. The whole of Britain has gone harlot mad.
They've put them up in the memory of the dead, Mr. Mowat.
In memory of the red lamps of France, by the look of them. It's freezing out here. Hope it's a short sermon.
They fly forgotten as a dream dies at the opening day.
On this day, we remember those who died alone, in pain. Some, even like Jesus himself, cursing God for having forsaken them. Jesus bled on the cross at Calvary, but he also died on the fields of France. Today, I ask his mercy on a world unawakened yet from the night that descended when the first trench was dug, when the first gun was fired, when the first canister of gas made its ugly, deadly cloud. God did not make that terrible night descend upon the earth. He made neither night nor day in human history. He left it in the hands of man to make both. He left it in the hands of man to struggle against evil or to embrace it. To forge the will to live on this planet that he gave us in brotherhood and peace or to destroy it. To make the world arise anew as heroes anew when the dark skies over Calvary gave way to that blazing dawn.
Look, Mother. There's Ake. One Jock Cronin.
What are the spinners doing here?
Having their own armistice day parade, it seems.
That's a bra song they're singing.
How dare you? How dare you come here and cause a disturbance?
Are you not ashamed? Disrupting a memorial service on Armistice Day?
No, we're not, as it happens. You see, all of us had a taste of war ourselves. Take a look at our chests and then take a kick at your own Alex Hogg. Oh. Every one of us is wearing our medals, except the women here, who are wearing the medals of their dead. And we've got something that we want to say to folk. Comrades, not only mill folk, but others I see here. We went to war. We ken what it was. We went to the likes and the dirt and damnation. And what have we got at the end of it all? Starvation wages, no homes for heroes. The capital is on our necks as before. They are sacking men at the mills just now and leaving them on the bureau to starve. That's our reward. And that's the thing that we must mind today. Not to come here and remember the dead. They're maybe better off compared with some who live here in Seged, worse fed than beasts. It's the living that's our concern. That's who we fight for now. That's who the Labour Party fights for now. Come and join us! You first, Mr. Cahoon. You were out there. You've sensed. Join us!
I think we'll go home, Chris.
Ick, it makes my blood boil to see a man so meek, damn it.
Disgraceful exhibition. Absolutely disgraceful.
When I was a lad up in Gavrick, every one of them would have been sacked for their impudence.
More tea, Mr. Mowat?
Yes, please. Jolly good biscuits.
And that brute Jock Cronin, expecting a minister of the Kirk to join up with dirt like him.
Oh, have you ever seen the like of it, Reverend?
I don't believe I have, no.
Well, I've never seen...
Ewan, why are you singing that song?
I like it, Mother. I think it's a jolly fine song, don't you?
Well, we're having dinner soon. You need to go and wash your hands.
But we're not having dinner for ages.
Ewan, go and wash your hands.
Singing a song like that. You must be black affronted, Mrs. Cahoon.
He didn't know what he was singing, Miss McCaskill.
Someone's got to put a stop to it.
What, singing the red flag?
Put a stop to all these paid agitators.
They're paid.
Oh, yes, Mrs. Cahoon.
Really? Who pays them? Perhaps I could apply.
With respect, it's hardly a laughing matter.
I shall stop laughing then. Do have another biscuit, Mr. Mowat, as you like them so much.
Perhaps I will.
Tell me, Mrs. Cahoon, have you given more thought to doing charity work with the WRI?
As I said, my work at the manse keeps me fair busy.
Don't you like social work, then?
Not much, no.
That's disappointing. I'd have thought the minister's wife would want to visit the less fortunate of the Kirk congregation.
I wasn't always a minister's wife, Miss McCaskill. I was brought up in a croft and married a crofter.
And did you not think to be grateful for the help of folk like Miss McCaskill?
I mind well what we thought of those folk, Mr. Sim. Visiting and prying and blithering about helping us. Doing everything, in fact, except helping us.
Mm-hmm. But surely the poor have to help themselves, Mrs. Cahoon.
I would be interested to know how you think the poor should do that, Mr. Mowat.
I've seen how they do things in Italy, Mrs. Cahoon. I was there last year. Really amazing. A country awakening, regaining its soul, finding inspiration in a history that goes back thousands of years. Discipline, order, hierarchy, all the jolly old things. Now, why can't we do that in Scotland with its ancient civilization and culture?
You'd like to take us back to those ancient times, would you, Mr. Mowat?
Scotland would be a jolly sight better off than it is now.
Tell me, Mr. Mowat, was there ever really the kind of Scotland you draw your inspiration from? Happy. At ease. The folk in the land well fed, the folk in the pulpits well feared, the gentry doing great deeds.
The gentry did a jolly good job keeping order.
I mind my history, Mr. Mowat. I know how the gentry once kept order. and I know how the folk, my folk, dying at night in their earth houses, chaving from the brink of day for a meal. The folk the Mowats of old ran down, who the armies harried and kings spat on. I know how they rose in the Covenant times and were tortured and broken by the gentry's men. And you, you snippet of a fop, would bring back worse and ask me to help you.
Mrs. Cahoon.
For I will tell you, Mr. Mowat, if it came to the push between you and the spinners, I would be with the spinners.
Really? Have you no control over your wife, Minister?
I'm afraid my wife and I think the same.
Reverend Cahoon.
As all folk worth their salt in Scotland must think. There are changes coming. I once had faith that God would touch your hearts, that I could help you see the misery around you. But you seem to think things can stay as they are, or go back. But they can't. God will not wait for you. And if in Segget the instruments of his will are the folk of the mills, then, whatever their creed, that is the side I will be on.
Well, I suppose I should be going. A great deal of business to attend to.
We should be going as well.
Thanks so much for the tea. Jolly good it was, too.
Oh, I'm pleased you enjoyed it, Mr. Mowat.
We'll see ourselves, eh?
Every word of that will be the talk of Segget by tomorrow morning.
By this evening. And with quite a few words added in that you didn't say.
I've been praying for his guidance, Chris. Praying that God would let me know as well. Today those prayers were answered.
We're going to have a baby, Robert.
We?
Well, I am. But you had a share.
How did this happen?
I haven't the least idea.
A baby? Good Lord. What does it feel like? A nuisance just or tremendous and terrible?
Well, it makes me feel sick now and then.
Oh, Chris. Chris, this is the happiest day of my life. Are you happy? Oh, I hope you're happy too.
Oh, I am.
And I swear to you, Chris, our baby will not grow up to fight and die in war. He'll live to an old age. And he'll tell children 3 generations from now the stories he was told by his father. Of a dark world full of misery and poverty. Of homeless, hungry, desperate folk. And you know, the children of that future generation will think him a crazed old man. I swear to you, Chris, I swear it.
In Cloud Howe, Chris was played by Amy Manson and Robert by Robin Lang. Elsa was played by Pearl Appleby, DL Liam Brennan, Alec Philip Cairns, Jock Stephen Duffy, Ewan Roderick Gilkison, Leslie Ralph Reick, Ake Ian Robertson, Miss McCaskill Wendy Seeger, and Mowat by Nick Underwood. Cloud Howe was written by Lewis Grassett Gibbon and dramatised by Donna Francis Child. It was a BBC Scotland production directed by Kirsty Williams.
And tensions grow within the town next week. In a moment, the news, then at 10:15, future-proofing looks at how the world could produce cheap, plentiful and clean energy for the future. But now we've got time for a look at the weather. Tomorrow will be another largely fine and dry day for many of us, with sunny spells and a few isolated showers in the north and east. After a chilly start, temperatures will reach close to the seasonal average, as we know what that is, and it will feel pleasant in any shelter. The winds will be strongest along North Sea coasts, where it will feel a bit cooler. Monday will see another chilly start, but it will be a largely dry and fine day with some sunny spells and a few isolated showers in the northwest. Into Tuesday, a band of rain will gradually spread in from the west. This is BBC Radio 4.
BBC News at 10 o'clock. This is Diana Speed. Good evening. An anti-corruption official at football's world governing body has resigned, claiming reforms are being undermined. The Foreign Secretary Philip Hammond has warned of the growing threat posed by the Islamic State group in West Africa. Saracens have become the first English club for 9 years to win Rugby Union's European Champions Cup. The governing body of world football has been thrown into fresh turmoil by the resignation of a senior official who has been leading efforts to reform the organisation. Domenico Scala, who was the head of auditing and compliance at FIFA, quit in protest at its decision to give its ruling council the power to elect or sack members of independent committees supervising areas such as ethics and finance. He said the change could hinder future investigations against FIFA members. FIFA said Mr. Scala had misinterpreted the decision and made unfounded claims. Here's our sports news correspondent, Richard Conway.
Domenico Scala was one of the architects of FIFA's recent reform efforts. He was a key figure behind the recently adopted changes to the governance structure of FIFA. He was not universally popular amongst leading executives. His resignation comes after FIFA members voted yesterday to allow its ruling council the power to hire and fire members of key oversight committees. In his resignation statement, Mr. Scala says he is, as he puts it, consternated by the decision, believing it removes vital independence. He is also concerned by the potential for FIFA officials to now impede investigations against its members. Mr. Scala was also in charge of setting pay levels for the new president. There are suggestions FIFA's new president, Gianni Infantino, is unhappy with the salary he has been offered. Mr. Infantino was elected in February after promising to quell the storm of corruption that has engulfed the organisation in recent years. Yesterday, he declared FIFA to be no longer in the grip of a crisis. But Mr. Scala's resignation now presents him with a difficult challenge, barely 100 days since taking office.
The Foreign Secretary, Philip Hammond, has said he is extremely worried that the ideology of the Islamic State group is spreading into West Africa. He was speaking at a security summit in Nigeria focused on tackling the extremist group Boko Haram, which has recently developed closer ties with IS, also known as Daesh.
The growing cooperation between Daesh in the Middle East and Boko Haram in this region is a growing threat. As Daesh faces increasing pressure in its heartland in Syria from the international coalition, there is the real risk that it increases its efforts in support of Boko Haram here in Nigeria and across the wider region.
Our Africa editor, Mary Harper, considers the scale of the threat posed by IS in West Africa.
Several parts of Africa have already proved fertile recruitment grounds for jihadists. For the Islamic State group to take hold, it would have to compete with other well-established movements. A branch of Al-Qaeda has been active in the Sahara for years. In 2012, it took over more